Well, good morning, everyone. It's a real privilege to be able to speak in your home church. 14 months. I speak in lots of different places, but the thing about having a home church is it's your culture. You know why things happen the way they are. And sometimes when you just come in and you're brand new, you think, is it for me? I think God will drop something in your heart where you just feel a connection. And you don't necessarily know what it is straight away. And then you just feel, hey, yeah, this feels good for me. And I want to say to you, it's good to have a home church. Because when I'm out, week in and week out, I get to be in some great churches. But they're not home. And so it's good to be at home today. I was just looking at that video and with Sean saying it's going to be the hottest summer ever. I think you should keep that clip. Because if it is, we can say our pastor is the greatest prophet ever. So just get it on Facebook and Instagram. He said it. He said it here. Yeah, it's amazing. It's been a great weekend. Went down yesterday to Bray, didn't we? I showed Erica a fish and chip shop that I found in Bray. She wasn't that convinced, but when we got down there, she said, "You're right, these fish and chips are great." What a hot date that was. And then we came back and watched Leinster win, which is amazing. So for all the rugby fans, and that was good to see them win. Yeah, so it's great to be with you. This morning, what I want to speak to you about is entitled this. It comes from Scripture, and the title of my sermon is, "All These Things Will Be Added Unto You." All these things will be added unto you. I know you could think to yourself right now, Darren, when? I need them now. Don't we all need it now? I think patience is one of those fruits of the Spirit that I'm saying to God, I need you to help me with this one a little bit more. And because I'm not always understanding the way that God is working, even though I've been a Christian my whole life, since I was 7 years of age, I'm now 53. I still have to ask God, will you help me with this thing called patience? And there's plenty of the other parts of the fruit of the Spirit I need help with too. But we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6 and see where this quote comes from, because it's right from the words of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we're going to read it in this context. So we just put that scripture up. Matthew 6, 25. You can follow in your own Bible. I'm just going to pull over here a little bit so you can see, hopefully. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, or in another version, the unbelievers, run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Isn't that true? All these things will be added unto you. But I know what life's like. If you're anything like me, we worry about stuff all the time. We worry about my health. We worry about our job. Hey, it's okay, we're on the boom in a minute. What if we crash again? What happens if it all starts going downhill? And then that's connected to my rent. Wow, rents in this part of the country are just huge. Am I ever going to be able to afford a mortgage? I know that my rent is double, and yet I can't get a mortgage, which would be half, but they won't lend it to me unless I get like 80 grand together to get a deposit. God, how can you help me with this? Some of us are concerned about our relationships. Maybe we're not getting on well with our husband or a wife. Maybe it's worse than that. Maybe we've split. Maybe we're in separation and times are hard for us. And we're wondering, God, where are you? I'm worried about my life. I'm worried how it's going to affect my children. Are they going to get a great education? How am I going to help them? How am I going to show them the right way? We worry and we worry and we worry. And the cycle goes on and on and on. But Jesus, who we say is our Lord and Savior, says to us, do not worry. Do not worry. Erica and I, we're in the same sort of phase of life as some of you. Like, we're thinking, well, we'd love a mortgage. We'd love a house. Where can we get one? Where can we find the money to do that? And with my role with Compassion, I had a company car. It was a legacy from when I was working in the UK, and they let me keep it when I was coming to Ireland. And then I thought, oh, this will last. This will do. And then it blew up. And then I spoke to the office in the UK, because we have offices all over Europe and in the States, Australia, Canada. And I said to them, hey, what new car are you going to get me for this? And they went, yeah, we've been looking at the numbers, Darren. I don't think it's going to help you to have a company car. I think you'd be better to buy your own. I'm like, great, now I've got to find a loan. But it'll be better for you with the personal mileage allowance and this sort of stuff. It'll create less hassle in the long term. But I'm thinking, oh, God, I've got to get a car loan. So I go down to Permanent TSB, where we're banked with, and I say, this is my Irish salary. Now, my situation's complicated because I work for an Irish charity and the UK part of the charity. So I get euro payment and sterling payment. And then I go to the bank and they say, so what's your euro payment? I said, it's this, but this is what I earn from the UK as well. We can't count that. We can only count what you earn in Ireland. So how much can you lend me? I will let you know in a couple of days. Then they come back, nothing. Thanks for nothing. Anyway, in the great scheme of things, I have the privilege of like coaching some young leaders at a movement called Christian Churches Ireland, which we're a part of, and I get to coach them. And one of the guys that I was coaching, he owns a car business. And I was talking to him about it, and he said, Darren, don't you worry, you leave it with me. What is it you want? And I said, well, what I'd really like is like a Kia Sportage or a Hyundai Tucson, like a couple of years old. And he goes, yeah, yeah. Like, get in the real world. What is it you really want? And I said, but I would like a car that's automatic air conditioning and just like cruise control, because I do a lot of mileage all over the country. He said, okay, well, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it. And a week later, he calls me and said, Darren, I've got this car in. It's a 2012 plate, but I think it'll work with your budget because we could scrape enough money together. And he said, and it'll be available then. Come and have a look at it. So I looked at it. I said, this is perfect. And then he said, I'll give it you for less than the asking price as long as you promise to sell it back to me whenever you get rid of it, because I can mark it back up again. And I went, yeah, deal. But you see, right at the beginning of that, I didn't see how it was going to work out. And God said, no, you don't have a loan. And you've managed to get some money together, and I've worked it out for your good. But right in the middle of it, we were worrying and wondering what's going to happen. And it's good for us to make plans. The Bible tells us to make plans. But Jesus says, I want you to hold your plans lightly. In Proverbs 16:9, it says this, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. What God is saying to us here is, my plans are even better to seek. And when you see them and you seek them, all of these things that you need, not necessarily what you want, but what you need, will be added to you. Now, sometimes we think that what we want is what we need, but later on, if you ever had that situation where you got what you wanted and you realized it wasn't what you needed? And other times when God comes to you and you suddenly go, oh, now I know, because I can see with perspective and I can see back that God gave me what I needed. But often we say to ourselves, if I can only get all these things sorted out, then I'll seek God first. I'll just sort these things out, and then I'll seek God to see what he wants for my life. But God's always in the business of flipping things around and saying, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to seek me first, and then these things will be added to you. Does anyone here have a daily to-do list? Put your hand up if you have a daily to-do list. I think there's more than that. I think there would be a majority. How many of like me, that you get to the end of the day and there's still a load of stuff that you've not crossed off? You feel good when you're ticking it all off. Someone did a survey, a business company did a survey, and they found out that on average, 40% of our to-do lists don't get achieved every day. That's because 40% of what happens in our daily lives are decided by somebody else. Your boss, your wife, or your husband. A set of circumstances you didn't know were going to happen. 40% of your life. So I would say to you, whatever you've got on your to-do list, here's just a little tip, cross 40% of it off. Because the rest of it's going to get filled out anyway. And you're just going to say, God, help me with that. If you start your day saying, God, I'm seeking you. I know some stuff's going to come to me this day that I'm not aware of. I know you're going to help me with that stuff if I seek you first, and then you'll add the other stuff to me. And then you won't get so pessimistic with yourself about, I've not got this long list of things that I've not achieved. So many times we're trying to do it on our own. And it's a little bit like a currency, and I've got some currencies in my pocket. You see, it's like currency. You can have two types of currency. One is called worry. Worry is thinking about things that have not yet happened and imagining what they will turn out to be. And often we find they never end up like that either. And faith is exactly the same sort of thing, but it's the opposite. It's believing in a God who says, if you put your hope in me for the things you can't see, you'll start to believe and see what I've got for you, and your life will turn out in a better way. Let me illustrate it to you this way. On my travels, I collect different currencies, and sometimes it's not worth getting them back. Here, I have a $20 US note, okay? And unless you're like looking on currency exchange, you look at that and say, yeah, that's $20. And here, I have 1,320 or 1,410 Kenyan shillings. Now, without you working it out, you'd probably go, I'll take the punt on the shillings. Yeah? You take the punt on the shillings, but I know some people know the answer to that, is that that is only worth around about $17.50. But this is an illustration of our lives. So often, we see something that looks like a lot, and we say, I'm going for that. God, what you're offering me doesn't seem much. But God's saying, no, what I've got is far more valuable currency and will take you a lot further than taking all of that. You don't need all of that. You need this. You see, the American dollar is probably the strongest currency in the world, from the strongest country in the world. It's a no-brainer. You take the dollars. You take the dollars. It's how the world works. Worry equals no. Faith equals yes. Worry is, no, God, I'm not going to go your way. I'll just carry on my own way for a while. And maybe if it doesn't work, I'll come to you. But faith says, God, do you know what? I think I'll say yes to you because it might just work out well. I have these little conversations with God, and God, a bit like when you were talking about, you know, sometimes we can have, I have a bit of a dry sense of humor, okay? So I bet God talks to me in a similar sort of way, and sometimes I'm doing things, and I say, God, I'll come to that later on, but I don't want to do it right now. And God says, yeah, you know that thing you're doing your way? How's it going? I'm like, yeah, all right. Why not try it my way? Why not believe in me? Why not seek me first and then see how I can add all these things to you? In fact, what I have found in my Christian walk, that God doesn't just add those things to you, but he adds much more to you in so much variety and the richness of his glory and grace. I want to illustrate it this way because some of us wonder, well, how do I exercise faith? How does that come to me? I find it hard to have faith. You know, when your fingerprint doesn't work on your phone, you want to get a scripture up. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how he empowers us. This is how faith comes to you. As you trust him and you allow his Holy Spirit to come into your life, you don't have to work the faith up. God gives you the gift of faith. And then you say, suddenly I'm believing where I didn't think I would believe. Because it isn't you, it's God working in you. All you have to say is yes. In Matthew 9, chapter 17, Jesus is surrounded by a whole load of people. And this one man starts to speak to him, and he says this. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I want to show you some things here that are going to help you exercise your faith. I want to show you that, first of all, when the man comes to Jesus with his son and he decides, I'm going to come to Jesus, it doesn't all work out well. Did you notice what happens? The enemy comes and the spirit sees Jesus and realizes there's a spiritual battle going on, and he throws the boy into a convulsion. I want to say to you this morning that sometimes your miracle is going to come, but right before your miracle comes, it'll seem the darkest moment. It'll seem like the devil's having a go at you. It'll seem like everything's going wrong. It's never going to go right, that God is not going to answer your prayer. But right in that moment, God is with you. He is with you, and he will answer your prayer. It may not be the way you think it's going to be answered, but God is going to come to you, and he's going to be with you, and he's going to show you great things. And then this conversation goes on, and the man says, if you can. And Jesus says, in front of a big crowd, if I can, if I can. They're not questions. The question is not if I can. The question is if you believe. The question is not whether God can. It's whether we will put our faith in him. Because God can always do. But we sometimes don't want to be in that position. And so the man looks and he thinks, I'm going to make a decision. And he says, I've got faith. Now remember, the Bible says you only need faith the size of a mustard seed and the mountain can be moved. And it's not talking about a physical mountain, but it's talking about the mountains in our life, the things that seem to be insurmountable. And so he comes and he says, I've just got this faith. And this is what he does. Can I just illustrate this with you, Gillian? Would you just stand up for me a second? Just imagine, just come up on stage. Imagine Gillian is, for a second, is Jesus. Okay? So, I don't know why you're laughing. I am here, and I'm the man. And I have two things in my hand. I've got a microphone, but I want you to imagine in this hand here, I've got faith. Okay? So I'm holding on to two things. And I say, Jesus, here you go. Here's my faith. And I give it to Jesus. And I've given my faith, but I'm holding on to my doubt. I've still got my doubt. Because we can believe and not believe all at the same time, can't we? You ever had that? And so I've given my belief, my faith in him. I know who he is. He's the Son of God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. But there's still something in me that's struggling. And I'm holding that doubt. And what the man does is this. He says, but why don't you have my doubt as well? What's he left with in his hands? Nothing. What is that? That's given complete faith to God. Thank you, Julian. Give her a round of applause. You see, what God wants us to do, he wants us to give him both everything that we believe in him. He wants us to give all of our faith to him. And he says, I know the way life works. I know that you've got doubt in your mind. I know you better than you know yourself. So why don't you give me your doubt too? You see, honesty is the best policy. I have found in my own prayer life, and maybe you found this too, that when I pray to God sometimes and I say, you know when we get caught in prayers and we say, oh God, I'm just praying that you will do this. And in my back of my head, I'm thinking, no, I don't want that to happen. I'm praying to God. I know that's his will, but I don't want that to happen. So this is what I found out. This is what I do now. I say, God, I'm praying about this because I know this is what you want. If I'm really honest, I don't want it. I don't even feel anything for it. In fact, I'd probably prefer you didn't answer that prayer. But I know I'm supposed to pray it to you. Has anyone ever prayed a prayer like that? But you know, when I've said that to God, I found that God said, Darren, thank you for your honesty. Thank you, because I already knew anyway. I knew that that's what you were thinking. And so then he can work with who we are. And God can work with you if you give him what you believe, however small that is, and however big your doubt is too. It's so difficult sometimes, but this is what we have to do. We have to give away to him so that we can gain what is being given to us. We have to give away to him so that we can gain what is being given to us. And when we do, all these things are added to us. When I first knew that God was calling me to Ireland from the UK about 4 years ago, just before I was due to come, I had a kidney stone. And I fell down outside the apartments in Manchester where I was, and I got rushed to hospital. And they said, oh, it'll be okay, the kidney stone will pass, you'll be fine. I'm like, gee, okay, thanks for that. But we found some dark areas in your system that we want to investigate some more. You know what that means. And so for the next 3 months, I was waiting for going along to appointments and different things. And I said, God, you told me I was going to Ireland, but this is crazy. Now this has happened. And I remember being with, just having to trust God in the process, because God knew the outcome, but I didn't know the outcome. And I remember being with the surgeon, and I just said to her, I said, I know surgeons will never tell you right there and then if they're not sure whether you've got cancer or not. They won't necessarily tell you. They'll say, we'll wait for the test to come back. So I phrased it a different way. I said, hey, I'm meaning to move to Ireland in the next few months. Is there any reason you could think of why it might be wiser for me to stay here for the moment? And she looked at me and she said, I think you could be pretty safe in carrying on with your plans. And I thanked God. And I came to Ireland and I didn't know anybody with the Ministry of Compassion. And I went into a board meeting. And I was in this board meeting, and I was supposed to just have a cup of tea with the board members of Compassion Ireland. And I was supposed to, and it was just coming, and there was this long table. And they sat me down at the end of the table, and they said, give us your vision. And I'm like, whoa, I thought I was just coming in for a cup of tea. So then I just found myself like, who's in this? We're going to see this. We're going to see life change. This is going to happen. And all this sort of stuff. And I felt this confidence growing in me of what God was going to do. Then I went back to the Premier Inn at Swords. And I went into the bedroom, I looked in the mirror, and I went, oh, God, what have I just said? And I felt God say to me, Darren, you don't see tomorrow, but I do. I've set you up. I've set you up. You've just got to say yes to me today. And I will set up your tomorrow. And I want to say to you this morning, God has set up your tomorrow. He's already ahead of you. He's worked it out. The answer may not come the way you think it's going to come, but it's going to be glorious and it's going to be wonderful. But you've got to keep saying yes to God and no to doubt. You've got to say, God, I'll believe what you say. You see, worry is my small world, but faith is his enlarged world. And I went to the first conference I went to, and I spoke there, and I met Tom Burke from Grace Christian Church. And he said, do you know anyone in Ireland? I said, I don't know anybody. And he said, come to me to St. Mark's Church in Dublin next week, and I'll introduce you to some ministers. And I met different people there. I think I met Sean there, and I met some other people there. And suddenly my whole world opened up. And I felt like God say, see? God's got it in hand. But I know, even now as I'm saying this to you, you'll say, yeah, but you don't know, Darren, maybe God's more for you than he is for me. And if I were the devil, I'd say this to you, because this is what the devil said to me in the past. You've blown it. You're no good. Your past stops you from being anything you could have been in the future. Because you blew it so badly, you hurt so many people, you're a loser now. You are finished and you are out. That's what I would do if I were the devil. If I were the devil, I would say, you are now useless. You once were good, but right now in your present, you can't add anything to this. You can't be of any benefit to anyone. That's what I would do if I were the devil. If I were the devil, I would say to you, your future is hopeless. Your past was way better, but your future is non-existent. That's what I would do if I were the devil. But God doesn't do that, because the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8, he says that God is not a God of condemnation. He's a God of conviction. And God shows you and he convicts you of sin and he shows you of what you've done wrong, but he always gives you a way out. The devil never gives you a way out, but God always gives you a way out. You've got to know, it's not true when that word comes to you. It's not the truth. God's word is truth, not those voices you have in your head that tell you you're worth nothing, that you're invaluable. God has set you up, and every day that you wake on this planet, there's purpose for you. And there's a greater purpose than there's ever been before. Sometimes the devil, and he doesn't come along with horns and a tail. It's just a little voice in my head of discouragement. The devil comes to me. I recognize when the devil speaks to me. It's normally early in the mornings. And I get in the shower and I just feel like, yeah, this is what you've blown, Darren. Look at what you've wasted. And this is what I've learned from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. To take every thought and imagination, anything that perverts the truth of who God is in my life, and to take it captive and to submit it to God and say, that is not the truth about me. I am who God says I am right now, and I have a hope and a future. You need to make that choice too, just like I have to. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. They're add-ons. They're not the main thing. Seek first his kingdom. That's the main thing. And all these things will be added to you as well. You need to make a choice. We always need to make a choice. Now, what you decide today, it doesn't change the truth. If you say no and use the currency of doubt, it doesn't change the truth. If you say yes and you use the currency of faith, it doesn't change the truth. It just means you're operating in the truth. Which one will you choose? Worry is no. Faith equals yes. But God, if only you could tell me first how it'll work out. But that's not faith. That's using the currency of worry to bend God's arm up his back. So where do we start? Well, we start with what we have in our hand. That's what God said to Moses. Your home, your health, this is what you have. We live in a peaceful country. We live in a prosperous country. If you lived in this country 100 years ago, it wasn't anywhere near as prosperous. You wouldn't be anywhere near as healthy. Right now, may I say this in church, you're really lucky to be living right now. Because you didn't decide to be, but you're here right now. Will you make the most of it? The opportunity that God has given you. Sometimes things come along in our lives and we get huge opportunities. Just over a year ago, I was at a conference called Movement that Christian Churches Ireland puts on. And a young couple came along and they went around this truck where we show people what it's like to live in extreme poverty for children in their homes. And this young couple went round and they decided to change a young boy's life. And they changed his life. And they didn't know what was happening then. They just thought this would be a great thing to do. A year later, they met that young boy in Togo, in Africa. Not only did they meet that young boy, but they got to minister into his life when the mother had just lost the father. The timing was so precise, and only God could have ordained it. You see, what happened to this young couple was that they opened the door to say, God, what do you want to do with me? How can I be of use to you? How can I serve you? And suddenly, their whole world opened up, even more than it was already open. You know who that young couple are? It's Alex and Rosie, our own pastors. It's their story, and they tell it a lot better than I do. All of these things will be added to you, but you need to go through the process. God understands the beginning from the end. You don't need to worry about the end. You just need to understand God wants to understand who I'm going to become in the process. Who will you become in that process? I have one relationship in my life. Just so you know, my life is not rosy. I have a relationship in my life that I need God to work on for me. Every day, I pray about this close relationship. We pray about this close relationship. It's an estrangement in my life. There's distance. And I say to God, because it's been going on for like 9, 10 years, I say, God, why won't you answer that yesterday? Surely your best is you would answer that yesterday and then all of the days after would be rosy. I feel like God has said to me so many times, Darren, would you trust me anyway? Would you seek me first anyway? Even if you never got the answer you thought you deserved, would you still trust me if you knew that in heaven it would be even more glorious? You see, at that point, we've got to say, God, I give it to you, everything. I give it to you. And I just know that you are going to do something miraculous in my life. Maybe there are things in your life that you just need to give to God this morning. When I open the door and walk through to where God asks me to go, what I find is that all of heaven's power becomes available to me. Why would I turn that opportunity down? Why would you turn that opportunity down? Why don't we just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment? Maybe you've come into this place today and you've done good things. You've lived your life well. Maybe you've got great business, got a nice family, but you know there's more to life. And you've come here today, and there's a reason you've been here today. Maybe you prayed to God and you've talked to him sometimes and asked him, God, will you help me? And he has. But God wants to invite you into a more personal relationship with him. And he wants you to give your life to him, that he can come and live within you by the power of his Holy Spirit and change you from the inside out, that you can live in the power of who God is. Maybe this morning you'd like to make a decision to follow Christ. If you would, I want you to say a prayer with me. In fact, I'd like to invite everyone to join in the prayer with me so no one's saying it on their own. Let's just pray together. Dear God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you've always taken care of me even when I didn't know it. I realize I need to draw close to you. And so I'm handing my life over to you. I ask you to forgive me of the sin of not following you. I put my trust in you today. Cleanse me of all my sin. Make me right before God. And come and dwell within me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. We want to help you if you've made that decision for the first time. No one else is looking right now, but we just want to be able to come and pray with you afterwards, or maybe just say a few things of encouragement and help you out, give you a Bible. If you said that prayer for the very first time this morning, just quickly, while no one else is looking, will you just pop your hand up real quick right now? Just pop your hand up real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Just 5 more seconds. Is there anyone else? Father, we thank you for those this morning that have invited you into their life. And Lord, we thank you for a new day, for new blessings, for a future that is bright and wonderful. Because you are walking by our side. We know that we're still going to face trouble, but you're going to be walking with us every step of the way, and you're going to order our steps. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hey, thank you so much for listening to me this morning. I want to challenge you, just as we close, why don't you seek God first? If there's an area in your life and you think, I haven't been doing that. I'm like 70% into God. I'm asking you this morning, commit yourself 100% into God. Why not talk to one of your friends or someone else and just get them to pray with you? And say, will you pray with me that I make this commitment before you and before God? Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for laughing at my silly jokes. God bless you, and see you again soon.